Psalm 128, 128th Psalm. Blessed is every man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Heavenly Father, we want to take this morning, Lord, as we have some time back, and set it apart, set it aside, Lord, as an opportunity to honor the grandparents, Lord, that are with us today, and to look at this unique and wonderful position that you've allowed so many to enjoy. We pray, Lord, that through the scriptures we'll be challenged as grandparents, Lord, to rise to the occasion, to set the standard, to lead the way. And I pray, Lord, that you would also use the message to speak to the hearts of each grandchild that's here today. And Lord, that they would be willing to take the sage advice that will be offered to them through the scriptures today concerning their responsibility and, Lord, for their privilege of having a grandparent. And I pray, Lord, that above all and in all, Jesus Christ will be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Psalm 128 teaches us this opening thought that we're going to use for introduction. And the opening thought is this: it is a blessing to be a grandparent. It is a blessing to be a grandparent. One little girl wrote this: a grandparent is warm hugs and sweet memories. They remember all your accomplishments and forget all your mistakes. A grandparent is someone you can tell your secrets and worries to, and they hope and pray that all your dreams come true. A grandparent always loves you no matter what. A grandparent can see past temper tantrums and bad moods and make it clear that they don't affect how precious you are to them. A grandparent has an encouraging word and a tender touch. A grandparent is full of proud smiles. A grandparent is a person who loves you with all their heart, who remembers the child you were, and cherishes the person you've become. A young girl wrote this. Now, a young boy wrote this. This sounds like a boy. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's boys and girls. Grandmas don't have anything to do except be there. If they take us for walks, they slow down past pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say, "Hurry up!" I like this. Usually they are chunky, but not too fat to tie shoes. Leave it to a boy, amen. They wear glasses, and sometimes they can take their teeth out. They can answer questions like why dogs hate cats and why God isn't married. They don't talk like visitors do, which is hard to understand. And when they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it is the same story again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups who always have the time. That sounds like a little boy. I like this story. For 2 solid hours, the lady sitting next to a man on an airplane had told him about her grandchildren. She'd even produced a plastic fold-out photography album of all 8 of her grandchildren. After talking for almost 2 hours about her grandchildren, she finally realized she had dominated the whole conversation. "Oh," she said, "I've done all the talking. I'm so sorry. I know you certainly have something to say. Please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren?" One grandpa said, "Have I ever told you about my grandchildren?" The friend said, "No, and I certainly do appreciate it." One grandmother said this: "If I had to do it all over again, I'd just bypass children and have grandchildren." Amen. And I had to laugh when I read this. You know, you're getting old when your grandkids come home and tell you what they are studying in history, and you remember studying the same subjects in current events class. Amen. It's a blessing to be a grandparent. The Bible says in Psalms 128, it lists the blessings that come upon someone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. And one of the things that it points out as a clear blessing upon a person's life is this: yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. I'm not going to speak a whole lot to grandparents today. I'm going to speak quite a bit about grandparents. And let me just say this, for those of you that have a grandma and a grandpa, God has gifted you, God has blessed you with a very special individual in your life. I'm going to give you some sage advice for the grandchildren today. I'm going to share from you, not from Pastor Jerry's depth of wisdom or my personal opinion. I want to share with you from the Scriptures some good advice for every grandchild concerning their grandma and their grandpa. So let me allow me, if you will, to follow me through the Scriptures as we talk about this wonderful person in our life called a grandpa or a grandma. Number one, let me give you this advice, grandchildren. Give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Give honor and reverence to your grandparents. I will tell you that I am appalled. I'm appalled in American society at the way we treat our older people. I'm absolutely appalled. Let me say it again. God's instruction in the Scripture is to give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Let me have you turn to Leviticus chapter 20. I want you to see these verses. We're going to use our Bible some this morning. Leviticus chapter 20. I'm not sure that if I wasn't a grandchild and I had a grandparent that God still blessed me with, that I could visit and see and enjoy, that I wouldn't mark these verses in my Bible. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 32. Leviticus 19 and verse number 32. Notice this: thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Isn't it interesting when God called out a people from among the heathen and said, you are going to be Israelites. You are going to be my people. And I'm going to give you special instruction. One of the things that God included in His law to the Israelite, to His people, to the people that would be marked and identified as the children of God, is this. He wanted the world to watch them reverence the older folk, to watch them honor the older folk. That was going to be something that distinguished God's people from the rest of the heathen world. And He says this: thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. You know, I've watched this, so have you, folks. You've been in a waiting room, or you've been someplace maybe waiting in a restaurant, and an older person will walk in, and all of the seating will be occupied. And there's this older person, and you know what? They don't have a seat, and everyone just sits there. And I'm talking about children. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about young, able-bodied men will sit there while a grandma or grandpa struggles to stay on their feet while they're waiting. Listen, that not ought to be the case. That ought not to happen. Listen, what this verse is saying is rise up before the hoary head. When an older person walks in the room, I think it's an appropriate thing for you to stand to your feet. You know what that says? That says that's a sign of honor. That's a sign of reverence. That's a sign of respect. And grandchildren, listen to me. You give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 16. The book of Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 31. Again, a wonderful verse that encourages us to give honor and reverence to our grandparents. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 31. And we see that the Bible says this: the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Now, all of you young people, again, look up here and listen. When you see someone that has hair that has been touched by the aging process, by time, and you know what? They have the hoary head, and what that means is a gray-headed or a white-headed person. Whenever you see that, I want you to think in your heart, that is a crown of glory. That is a crown of glory. That's a sign that somebody is royalty. I mean, I ought to treat them as if the President of the United States walked in. I ought to treat them as if the King or Queen of England has walked in the door. I mean, they are ought to be treated as royalty. And again, I feel like what we need to do is give honor and reverence to our grandparents. I had to chuckle at this. The story I read, it says, one day I sat down with my daughter and explained with pride that her grandfather was a preacher, her great-grandfather was a preacher, and her great-great-great-grandfather was a preacher. To which she replied, wow, we sure come from a long line of grandfathers. I think she kind of missed the point, but you know what? If your grandparent, great-grandparent, and great-great-grandparent weren't preachers, if they were just grandpas, you come from a great line. We ought to reverence and give honor to the grandparents, and especially to our senior saints. We ought to, as young people, listen, young people, and you see me back at the door, and parents, I know we remember how it was as kids, but I guess if you're going to get laid hands upon by the preacher and you're a child, the way it's going to happen is at the back door when four or five kids are trying to scuttle through the door and they want to go out and play, and there's an elderly lady trying to get through the door, or an older man trying to get through the door. Listen, children, don't be in such a big hurry. You say, but Brother Jerry, if I don't get in front of them, it's going to take me all day. Well, you know what? Just get in behind them, and every step you watch them take, you thank God for their life. You thank God for their influence, and you look upon that white-headed saint as if they were royalty, and you look upon their hair as a crown of glory, because it truly is. Let me give you a second thought. Number two, not only should we give honor and reverence to our grandparents, but we should take care, good care of our grandparents. Take good care of your grandparents. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17. You should be right about there. And notice verse number 6. Take good care of your grandparents. Proverbs 17:6 says this, children's children are the crown of old men. Now think about that. We talked about the hoary head being a crown, but now it says that the grandchildren, the children's children, are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now, look at right up here. The grandchildren, that is a verse to you, so that you understand the relationship you're to have to your grandpa and your grandma. The Bible says that children's children are the crown of old men. And by the way, that word crown is a word that means to encircle or encompass. Take a look at that word. What that literally means and what it's referring to is that children's children are the protectors, the line of defense, those that care for and surround and encircle their grandparents. And you know what that verse is teaching us is this: take good care of your grandparents. Let me show another place where that's taught. Go to Psalms 127, 127th Psalm. We as grandchildren ought to take good care of our grandparents. That's part of our responsibility. Psalm 127, look at verse number 3 down through verse number 5. This is an amazing portion of Scripture, and I'm going to teach you something that you may know or you may not know. But verse number 3 says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something, and you may or may not believe me, but you do the same word study I do, and you'll learn the same thing. You look at that word children in verse number 3 and put your finger on it a second. Now go to verse 4 and you see that word children, put your finger on that a second. You know that word children is broader than just your own child, your own children. That encompasses far beyond that. That's talking about your descendants, your lineage. That's including grandchildren and great-grandchildren for many of you, and great-great-grandchildren for many of you. What the Bible is saying here is this: the descendants of an older person is a heritage of the Lord. It's the fruit of the womb is His reward. Then verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. And by the way, I thought it was fascinating. Pastor Ross preached Mrs. Lundy's funeral just a handful of days ago. And somehow they had calculated the number of descendants from him, from her and her husband. And they had figured out, I'm not going to get it right, was there 85? 87 living descendants from that one couple. I would say that their quiver was full. Let me say this. It's a responsibility of all 87 of those descendants to be willing to encircle and to protect and to take care of Mrs. Lundy in her old age. And by the way, that's what's taught here. It says, as arrows are in the hand of an angry man, they are as a weapon. It goes on to say, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I don't know about you, and I think we're of one heart here, but I don't know if there's anything I hear on TV that angers me more than to hear of a scam or somebody that's taken advantage of older people. I think that that's as low as a society can stoop, that we would make prey of our older people. And I think that what we've got to do as a family is understand we're to be that circle of protection. You see, years ago, they protected us or protected our parents. But you know what? Now they are facing the latter part of their life, and their energy and strength is dimmed. And so it's up to the children of the youth to encircle and to protect and to watch over and to care for and to check on grandma and grandpa. Does that make sense to you? So number one, give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Number two, take good care of your grandparents. You know what? They took good care of you. I read this. This is a true story, and I have to tell you, I laughed for a lengthy amount of time in my office. The article was entitled, God Bless Grandmother. When a 120-pound mountain lion leaped through a partially open window of a motorhome parked in a tourist area of South Dakota called Bear Country and began advancing towards an 18-month-old Jason Cowden, the boy's grandmother, Mrs. Peter Ederle, killed it with a butcher knife. She said this, all I kept saying was, bring me a knife, bring me a knife. I had to laugh at this. Finally, my husband handed me a butcher knife. And I jammed it in and twisted it, and the lion went slack, and I knew I had pierced the heart. I said a prayer that the good Lord would give me strength in the right spot, and he did. I love that Grandpa hands her the knife. You know why? Because Grandpa even knew nobody messes with Grandma, amen? You know what? Everybody in here knows that your grandmother would take the last bit of strength that she had, and she would die for you. She would protect you. So when she has little strength, we should be the ones that stand in the gate. Yes, sir. We should be ones that walk guard. We should be the ones that take care. And I think the mark of a society that's built on good, solid Bible principles, one of the marks is that they care for their elderly. They take care of grandma and they take care of grandpa. Number three, and this is what I want to spend a little bit of time on. Number one, give honor and reverence to your grandparents. Number two, take care of your grandparents. Number three, grandchildren, listen to me. Receive with joy the inheritance left to you by good grandparents. Now I want you to look at a verse, Proverbs chapter 13. Receive with joy the inheritance left to you by good grandparents. Look at Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 22. Receive with joy the inheritance left to you by good grandparents. Verse 22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let me give you something, and I hope that you'll receive this. I think that we live in such a materialistic society that every time we read a book in Proverbs that can possibly be linked to money, our mind makes that jump, or possessions, or wealth. But let me just say this. I believe with all my heart that the greatest inheritance that your grandparents will leave you has nothing to do with money. Absolutely nothing to do with money. There's a reason a little while earlier I had so many of the folks stand here and have them stand up who no longer have a grandma they can go visit or grandpa they can see. I wish that we had the time today to just have you open your hearts, open your treasure chest, and share some of what they left you, some of what you learned from them, some of the inheritance that they gave you. And you know what? I seriously doubt if we'd taken an hour and shared story by story, I seriously doubt if anybody would have mentioned anything to do with materialism. I really mean that. If I asked you what's the greatest thing your grandma and grandpa left you, I seriously doubt one person in this room would mention a piece of land or a house or a piece of property or a dollar bill. Do you know why? Because every grandma and every grandpa wants to leave an inheritance. Are you listening, children? Are you listening, grandchildren? Every grandma and grandpa wants to leave an inheritance. They want to pass on something that was passed on to them. You know, I've told the Lord before. I didn't used to think this, but I'm thinking it more now and now. More now than ever. But I read back when so many lived for so long in the Old Testament. Have you ever thought about that? And you see what they got to experience, and you can imagine the descendants they got to influence. And you kind of think to yourself, Lord, I know that we're a sinful lot, and I understand maybe the Bible reasons why you had to shorten life, but sometimes 70 just doesn't seem like it's long enough. And I got to thinking about that, and I pictured a 70-year-old man standing here before us. I want you to imagine a man that's 70 standing here before you. And I want you to think about what this man has to pass on. See, not only has he lived for 70 years, but he had in the past 70 years a chance to interact with the previous 2 or 3 generations before him. You see, inside of this man is not just his wisdom, but if he is truly a wise man, inside of this man is the wisdom of his father. Inside of this man is the wisdom of his grandfather and all of his grandfather's years, and in some cases, the wisdom of a great-grandfather. And in essence, and by the way, not only can we look at the timeline that way at all that this man has, but as he looks forward, he's also seen your years and his children's years and all that he's learned from children, because you don't just learn from those that come before you. You learn from those that come after you. And all of your life, and young man, listen to me. I know you want to go play Cowboys and Indians. I know that there's always something else to do. But do you understand that your grandpa and your grandpa, or grandmother, they have within them a great inheritance. And we ought to seek to inherit from them the godliness of their life, the wisdom, and listen to them when they speak of a better way. Hey, Brother Jerry, were their ways a better way? Well, the Bible tells me that this old earth, this society, this world is going to wax worse and worse. How many would agree that that's true? So if that is true, then yes, they know of a better way. They know of a better way to live. They know of a better way to worship. They know of a better way to conduct family life. I mean, sit down and listen to them. You say, well, Brother Jerry, my grandpa, he's made some mistakes. That's part of the wisdom that's a part of him. See, folks, you don't just learn through successes. Many times you learn through failures. And the Bible talks about a good man passing down an inheritance to their children. And I'm going to read this story to you. And I think, even though you may not agree totally with the person in this story, I think you'll get the point. It says, an energetic, mischievous young boy named Billy Frank knew the stories about the heroism of his grandfather, Ben Coffey. Ben Coffey was a one-eyed, one-legged Civil War veteran who worked harder than most men who had two legs and two eyes. When he returned from the war and began raising a family, he made daily Bible reading and prayers a required part of the family routine. His grandson, Billy Frank, benefited from the example set by his grandfather, Ben Coffey, when his own father and mother followed that godly pattern. Billy became a Christian after hearing a sermon by a Southern evangelist, but the example his grandparents set had already prepared him by pointing him in the right direction. Maybe you've heard of Billy Frank. His last name is Graham. And I got to thinking, you know what? We see men that have been used of God, and we have no idea how much of what they are came down from a grandma and a grandpa. Wasn't that good? I love this little story. Listen, young people, your grandparents, I'm tired of this notion of young people walking around acting like they know more than the hoary heads. I'm sorry. I'm just about had my fill of it. But I love this story. You know, Brother Jerry Goodnight, grandma can't even operate the cell phone. You know what? That's actually a blessing. And you know what's sad is that that's what your gauge of intelligence is. That's what your gauge of wisdom is. You think because you know technology that grandpa and grandma don't, you think you're smart and they're dumb. And you know what? That's a sad commentary on your generation. You know, you think because you know a little bit more than they did, and maybe you got a little more schooling than they did, that somehow you're smart, you're up here, and grandma and grandpa's down here, and you don't understand the folly of that thinking. Let me give you an example of this. Here's a story. I love this. Think about this. Think of the impact of this story. There's a pastor by the name of Jay Stanley, and he tells the experience about his father-in-law, his father-in-law had with the father-in-law's grandfather. I hope I'm not losing you here. So this pastor's talking about his father-in-law and the relationship, interaction between the father-in-law and the grandfather. His father-in-law went home to be with the Lord in 1965 at the age of 79. After coming home from school one spring afternoon, sitting with grandfather on the front porch, this is the father-in-law speaking. After coming home from school one spring afternoon, sitting with grandfather on the front porch, I proudly shared the somewhat lengthy information I had learned that day about our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. After allowing me to share the information, grandfather said to me with a loving yet wise gleam in his eyes, "Son, you definitely know more about Abraham Lincoln than I, but son, I knew Abraham Lincoln." Okay, let me tell you what I think's wrong right now. I think our kids know more about God, than grandma and grandpa. But the problem is, grandma and grandpa knew God. I think we're real good studying about things. I think in our Christian schools, if you put an average Christian school kid, by the way, grandma and grandpa didn't get to go to Christian school. You set him down on that pew along beside grandma, and you know what? You ask fact questions about the Bible and where this is and what this is. And you know what? That grandchild may be able to answer 10 times what grandma did. But the problem is they know about God, but they don't seem to know God. And sometimes you look at a grandmother or grandfather that you don't think is as smart as you, and what you ought to do is understand that they had to learn God early. And they met God through the trials and tribulations of life. And they can tell you more about God himself, while all you have is the facts and figures about the Bible. Isn't that good? Now, folks, listen to me. You get that inheritance. There's an inheritance trying to be passed down of godliness. There's an inheritance of wisdom. There's an inheritance of a better way to live. A better way to live. Talk to grandma and grandpa. How many folks do we have in here? And even if you are a widow or a widower, If you would have been married for 50 plus years, would you raise your hand? If you would have been, or you are married 50 years, anybody that's, raise them high, raise them high, raise them high. Praise God. Put your hands down. Listen to this. A young girl was examining her grandmother's wedding ring. Wow, what heavy and awkward rings they made 50 years ago, commented the young girl. That is true, replied the grandmother, but in my day they were made to last a lifetime. Folks, what we ought to do is stop looking upon this aged generation with disdain, and what we ought to do is start recognizing that they knew some things, they learned some things, they committed themselves to some things, and you know what? They had the character to follow through with some things. Let me just encourage all of you grandchildren, you receive the inheritance that Grandma's trying to pass down on to you. Grandpa walked with God. Grandpa had a holiness about him. Grandma had some wisdom about her. Sit down and listen to him. And don't just throw those things off to the side as if they're antiquated, as if they don't apply to your generation anymore. They love this book, and they love the God of this book. Let me read you a quick story about Spurgeon, and we'll be dismissed. Listen to this, though. Sit still and listen. This is entitled, How Spurgeon Memorized Hymns. This might encourage some of your grandparents, give you some good ideas. During one of many holidays, I had a varied experience which I'm not likely to forget. This is Spurgeon's own writing, his own words, his testimony. My dear grandfather was very fond of Dr. Watts' hymns. Be Isaac Watts. My grandmother, wishing to get me to learn them, promised me a penny for each one that I would say to her perfectly. I like that. We'll give kids money for anything in the world. Why don't we reward them for doing something? You know what? Here's, grandparents, why don't you just say, every time you come to the house, I'll give you a quarter for every Bible verse you can quote to me, or a dollar for every Bible verse, or if you're me, a penny for every Bible verse. I found it an easy and pleasant method of earning money and learned them so fast that grandmother said she must reduce the price to half penny each afterwards to a farthing if she did not mean to be quite ruined by her extravagance. There's no telling how low the amount per hymn might have sunk, but grandfather said he was getting overrun with rats and offered me a shilling a dozen for all I could kill. I found at the time that the occupation of rat catching paid me better than learning hymns. But I know which employment had been more permanently profitable to me. No matter on what topic I am preaching, I can even now, in the middle of my sermon, quote some verse of a hymn in harmony with the subject. The hymns have remained with me, while those old rats for years have passed away, and the shilling I earned by killing them have been spent long ago. I guess I read that to give you this last thought. Grandma and Grandpa's trying to pass something on. Why don't you just take it? Why don't you take it? If you've got godly grandparents, why don't you receive the inheritance that they're offering you? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I haven't spoken much about the matter of salvation. Let me say a couple words with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Grandma, Grandpa, I'm glad you're here today. Every grandchild needs a grandma and a grandpa that's born again. Every grandchild deserves Christian grandparents. If you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the greatest gift that you could ever give your grandchildren is to walk an aisle and simply say, you know what, I've lived my life thus far without being born again. This is too important of a time in my life. I have way too much influence to not be saved. And it's time to become a part of the family of God. And if you'll humble your heart, admit that you're a sinner, own that, and ask God to forgive you and to save you. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. He offers to us eternal life. You may be a child or a grandchild, and you have never received Jesus as your Savior. The most important thing that you need to do today is to get saved. Now let me say this. You may be here today as a grandparent. You might say, Brother Jerry, I want to pray for my grandchildren. I want to pray for them. I've got some grandchildren that need special prayer. Let me just say to you that the altar's open. I understand for some of you it's very difficult to kneel. If you'd like to come forward, there's room to sit at the on the front pew. And you might just want to say, you know what, on Grandparents' Day at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm going to spend a little bit of time during the invitation calling out the names of some of my grandchildren. Grandchildren, let me speak to you. If you have godly grandparents, I beg of you, I plead with you, to take the biblical admonition. You honor them and reverence them. You take good care of grandma and grandpa. You make it your responsibility to watch over them and take care of them. And you let them pass down some good and godly things to you. Listen to them and learn from them. Some of you may say, Brother Jerry, I've been taken for granted godly grandparents. And you know what? I need to be thankful and I need to listen and I need to learn from them. And that's the decision that God wants me to make today. Our heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for what you have to say in your word about grandparents. Thank you for, Lord, the joy we've experienced today. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.